Welcome back, everybody, to the Spectrum Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Fred Marvel, and I'm really excited for you guys to hear my conversation today with Danielle, because we are talking a lot about the early signs of autism that she saw in her son, Xander. And then that gets us into talking about advocacy, advocating for our kiddos with doctors and professionals when, you know, we don't always agree with what the doctors or the therapist or whoever say, and kind of following our instincts there, as well as following our instincts and doing our research, trusting our guts with the proper school setting for our kiddos, because you know, there's no one size fits all school setting for our kids, and we got to figure out what works for them and what doesn't work, and advocate for that. We also finish up our interview with a great talk about sobriety and all of the stress and how we deal with things in constructive ways, and how, you know, we can deal with things in some destructive ways. So I won't keep you guys any longer. I really hope you guys enjoy this interview today. All right, I am back, and this week I'm really excited to be joined by another incredible mom, Danielle. Danielle, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, good, good. We were just chatting a little bit. Your son, Xander, and my youngest son, Oliver, are both starting kindergarten in the fall. And we're kind of getting geared up for that. But you and Xander have an interesting story. So do you kind of want to take us back to the beginning with Xander and everything?
Sure. First, I want to say thank you so much for having me on. I absolutely appreciate it. It's an honor to be here. But we'll go back to the very beginning. I will say, you know, I mean, where do you want to begin? Do you want to begin at diagnosis? Do
you
want
to begin with signs? Yeah, with Alex, we were brand new. I had no idea of anything, like what signs to look out for, anything like that. So for us, it wasn't until he was in a local daycare at the time. You know, they kind of pointed us in the direction of finding like a developmental pediatrician and things like that, because, you know, we're first time parents. We're absolutely clueless about any of this stuff. So with Xander, was it something like that where somebody else had suspicions that he might be on the spectrum or there might be something going on? Or was it something that like signs that you saw?
So to be honest, Fred, I actually saw signs around 4 months.
Okay.
Which was, I know, wild to think, how did she see signs at 4 months? But I kind of just saw signs at 4 months because I noticed something going on with his hands. He would kind of do these things with his hands where he would roll his hands, and they would always be in fists, and he would roll his wrists, and it was never really an open palm. It was just in these fists.
Okay.
And he would never try to grasp anything. It would always be in fists. And I just thought that that was just a little bit funny. And he was honestly late on all his milestones, late on everything. And I had mentioned something to his pediatrician by the time he was around 5 months old. He really wasn't showing any signs of really sitting up on his own, nothing like that. And I had mentioned something, you know, we were living in Virginia at this time, and it was like 45 minutes outside of DC. So we were living in the DC metro area. And I had mentioned something, and I said, I really want to look at early intervention. And she said, you know, it's not too uncommon. Every child is a little bit late. And, you know, why don't you just hold off? And I said, you know, you see him for 15 minutes every time we go for a checkup.
Yeah.
I see him a little bit longer. I have just a feeling. And so at that point, I really just didn't like her response. So I actually ended up switching pediatric offices altogether. And I ended up switching doctors, which was amazing in and itself. And as soon as I switched doctors, it was just night and day. I felt absolutely heard. We actually got him in early intervention by the time he was, you know, 8 months old. He started seeing an occupational therapist, And our doctor ended up referring us, our new doctor ended up referring us to a neurologist who then ordered an MRI. We caught actually, which was a whole bunch of abnormalities. He actually ended up having something called Chiari because, I mean, it was just, it was a whole trickle down effect. And, you know, it's just funny how these things ended up sort of working out, so to speak. And so, I mean, we ended up moving to New York, and everything that was kind of getting the ball rolling for a diagnosis kind of halted because we had to start all over again once we moved to
Yes,
New York.
we just went through that. We moved from Philadelphia to the suburbs, so it's a different county, and yeah, starting all over again.
Right. And we couldn't transfer anything. Nothing would transfer over. And it was really awful. So we moved in October of 2019. And so we had to start early intervention all over again, all of that. And New York runs a little bit differently than Virginia, which is amazing. Our services are amazing here. We felt just so blessed and grateful beyond measure. Because New York is just very much set up for special education services. They really are. And wouldn't you know, by the time we had paperwork filled out and we had sent it off in January and everything was getting set up by February, COVID was starting. And then, you know, the whole world shut down by March. And we weren't able to get an appointment for a diagnosis. And, you know, by then it was looking like autism, you know, because Xander hadn't walked sit for, you know, he didn't walk till 22 months and all these things. He was nonverbal. It, you know, if it looks like a duck, talks like a duck, it's a duck. And I was looking at it like it's autism. I kind of just knew it's autism. And I'm treating it like it's autism. I didn't ask anybody if it's autism. We just knew it's autism. And without the diagnosis, there's only, you know, there's only so much you can do and leverage you can get. But once we got that diagnosis, it was just like we were able to just the world sort of popped open here in New York, and you're just able to get access so much more things. And
So much
it
more like
was,
services or things like that.
so much more. You're able to get benefits, you know, through New York. You're able to access like the developmental disabilities, get the waivers, everything like that. You're just you're able just to just get a lot more things done, get a lot more leverage on an IEP. And just get some more answers. You know, it was just a relief. It was honestly a relief. And it was amazing just to say, okay, he has autism.
Now,
What next?
how did that work, getting Xander diagnosed during the pandemic? Because that was right when Alex was finally diagnosed. I know we had to battle for it, because we went to the first part of the ADOS testing, where they interviewed me and my wife for, a few hours, and we had Alex's observation scheduled, but in between that and his actual appointment, everything shut down. So that was a fight, just to it was the same agency we've been using since he was three. So, finally I said, so I'm like, he was 9, just about to be 10 at the time. I said, we've been coming to you guys for 7 years now. Like, you've got enough data on him to be able to say, yes, he has it, or no, he doesn't. Let's move on here.
So we actually ended up doing his diagnosis through Zoom. She, our doctor ended up talking to us a lot, just like much like yours, and she did observations through Zoom. It was very interactive. It was quite a few hours of us doing a lot of the heavy lifting, but she was able to ask us a lot of questions And, you know, being home with Xander through the pandemic, we learned a lot from him, through him, observing him ourselves. You know, also, I knew what autism was. My mom worked in special education. She actually worked with many autistic students. So through that, I kind of already knew what autism looks like, what autism is, and you know, how to work with a child with autism. So just in itself, I kind of just always treated Xander like he was autistic and is autistic. And you know, just talking to the doctor when she just said that he is autistic, it was a tough blow, but again, just getting it through the video conference was really cool. And being able to do it in the comfort of our own home, I think it was just amazing because had he been in an office setting, I don't think she would have been able to get as much information as he would have in an office because he doesn't do well in a doctor's office type setting. He kind of doesn't like doctor's offices, so to say. It's confusing for him. And it's hard to verbalize to him, you know, we're in a doctor's office, it's going to be okay. He doesn't really understand that they're there to help. So, yeah, it was different, but since then she's actually seen him in person. So we've done the in-person observation as well.
Nice. Now, once he's finally diagnosed, I mean the pandemic was still going on, obviously, and I know we had trouble just getting any kind of services for him, for Alex, because everything was still online and through Zoom, and at least just for us, like Zoom did not work. You know what I mean? So, we fought for close to a year before we finally moved to get ABA started in person. What was that like for you guys?
Actually, so thinking about it, he was already accepted to a program, to a preschool program, an integrated preschool program here in Syracuse. It's actually an amazing school. It's a play-based program, and it was already like through that they were able to continue on through the school year. So they were already gearing up and getting ready.
Oh, it's
And
amazing.
yeah. So he was able to go 5 days a week, and you know, I think that that was the best fit for him. And he wasn't going to ABA just yet. We were kind of just like getting ready for the ABA of it all, because I was still learning about ABA and what it was all about, because I wasn't sure if it was just the right fit for him. I mean, of course, you always want to make sure you're doing the best for your child, and ABA just had that stigma to it, and you hear all these horror stories. So I wasn't sure, you know, I was still new to this whole ABA. And once I learned about it, I was just like, oh, well, this makes absolute sense for him. And so he didn't start ABA till February of, you know, 2021. But by September of 2020, he was going to an integrated program, which is going to neurotypical, which is a classroom of neurotypicals and neurodiverse children. So among his peers and then among like a neurotypical children. So
Yeah, we did the exact same thing with Alex when he was that age, and it was great because back then he was only diagnosed with ADHD and sensory processing disorder, but he was still able to get he had his OT services and things like that in school. So it was great to be able to have all of that under one roof.
And you know, he receives all his services in-house, and it's absolutely amazing. And we just feel very fortunate that he was able to get into the school that he was able to get into. And I just feel very lucky that he's there.
Yeah,
And
that's
we're very
amazing.
sad to see him go. We're very sad to see him go, but you know, it's really kind of incredible that he's there. And next week will be his last week, so
I know
tears, I'll be a mess.
it's tough that when we find like good teachers and good therapists for our kids, because you like we want I want to keep them around forever. Like we're dealing with an OT now that is absolutely incredible and has really helped. But next week is our last week with her. So it's like, oh man, I want to like you want to keep them around, but it's also good to kind of see our kids progress and grow and things like that. And now he's getting ready for kindergarten in the fall, right?
Yes, he is. Yes. It's going to be quite the transition, but yes, he's getting ready for kindergarten.
Nice. Now, what is that going to look like?
So he is going to a inclusive, it's going to be just autism program, exclusive autism program.
Okay.
It was the only option because as of right now, the school district in which he's in dissolved the special education contained classroom for autism children.
Oh,
So
wow.
they kind of were sourcing out to their more special needs children like Xander, so to speak. They didn't really go far into detail as to why.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like,
Right.
if you did not have the alternative, and you had to keep Xander in the school district, like where would you have to send him?
Exactly. We didn't go that far into detail.
Okay.
I was kind of panicking
Yeah, I bet.
for a little bit there, because it was kind of up in the air. So we were looking to have him go to other programs that were not very much a good fit, but I won't go into too far of a detail with that, because the school district has a lot of kinks to work out, I feel,
Okay.
as far as what they're going through
Yeah,
right now.
absolutely.
But I believe that they have a new special education director as of right now, and I have full confidence that she will be the good fit that they need right now. So I'm hoping that it works out without going into too much further detail.
Yeah, absolutely. Enough said. Now, when he goes to kindergarten, though, will he be able to do like whatever else he needs in-house? Like that, I don't know if he's in OT or with
Yes.
speech or whatever.
He receives the full max of services. So he
Okay.
will have OT, PT, and speech. He will
Nice.
receive all of them and hopefully music therapy. They're trying to get a music therapist in there. So
Oh, that's
hopefully
amazing.
he'll have that. Yeah, it's on his IEP. So fingers crossed they find someone for him.
Yeah, now does he use any kind of like a speech device or anything like that?
Yes. He does have a device. Thanks to his current speech therapist who wrote an amazing justification for him. He does have a device which he uses. So he is a Proloquo to go
Okay.
and he's doing well with it so far.
Yeah.
It's he very much loves the hand leading with mom and dad, but he'll use the speech device with some teachers. So I mean the device is amazing.
Now,
I'm a huge advocate for it.
how hard is it to get a speech device? Is it as simple as finding an app that works for you and your son and just downloading it to an iPad? Or is it, I'm sure it's a much more involved process than that.
It is a much more involved process than that. I mean, the device in itself is, it's not cheap.
Right.
It's quite expensive when it comes down to it. I mean, you can have the app on your phone, but these things add up, after a while, as does anything. And it can be daunting, but you do want that device for your child. You do want them to have that, and you want him to have access to it at all times. So something like that they need because that's their voice and you want them to have it like free and clear at all times. So getting a device can be you want to get it through your insurance, and sometimes it can be denied, which is wild, absolutely wild.
Right. I mean, if this is their best way to communicate, like, why would you deny that?
Absolutely. I can't believe it. So, his first try, he was denied. The insurance denied it. We have no re we don't know why. Because he's 100% nonverbal. He has never spoken a single word. He's never ever. And it was just so interesting as to why, but we don't know. And so his speech therapist says he absolutely needs a device. So luckily there was a foundation in New York State that awards children certain devices in so I think so many in a year or something like that. And so she wrote an amazing justification for Xander, and she went through it with a fine-tooth comb because, if there is a lick of anything, a sentence wrong in it, they'll say, "Ha, he doesn't need it," and they'll deny you. And so, he was awarded the device, so he ended up getting it. But it's just amazing to me that this happens on a regular basis across the country to children who need these devices. And it's very sad
It is.
that their voices are locked up in a cage and they need it. So we need to find a way. And PECS is not always just a is not always the best alternative to them, because some children need to use a robust language system, and just they have to use a device
Yeah,
to kind of
absolutely.
learn through that way. So, I'm a huge advocate. There's many parents that are on the same, page as us when it comes to using a device. So we're big cheerleaders when it comes to it.
Now he's starting, getting ready to start kindergarten. When did you, I'm just curious, like how hard is it to integrate? Like once you've got the device, like when did you start using it? And like how long did it take Xander to kind of like catch on and figure out like, okay, if I need something, this is what I used to ask for.
So what's interesting is Xander sort of kind of has been using it on and off for about a year and a half. But lately we've been hitting it a lot harder the past 6 months more than anything. And what we've been doing more often than not is he's been learning that to hit certain things to kind of get what he needs and navigating it. He's kind of learned that sort of on his own, but sort of not. And it's kind of been a reward system. But he's also kind of navigated the device on his own, figuring it out. So, like I said, we use the robust language system. So, if he was to hit like a button like blue, we would say, "Oh, what's blue in this room? Are the walls blue? Is the chair blue?" We would talk about things in the room. Or, if he was to hit like, certain other things, talk about his, he would sometimes hit like other things like TV. We would say, "Do you want to watch something on TV? What do you want to see on TV? We can't watch TV right now," or, "There's not a TV here," and it would be, anything. So we have to talk about things like that. But sometimes he'll hit that thing where it's just like he wants mini muffins, and we're like, "Okay, you want the mini muffins? You got it." And we'd just be like, "All right, here they are." So hey, he'll figure it out on his own. We don't want to take the device from him and just kind of do it for him and prompt him, because that's his voice, and he needs to know that it is his voice and voice alone. And that is something that sometimes teachers don't always realize, is like they'll try to take that device and kind of navigate it for him and be like, "We're at circle time, here we are," and navigate it for him. And you don't want to do that, because then you're kind of like taking his voice from him. And you that's what you want to do, is you want to kind of just prompt it, but don't you, it's kind of hard to explain, but if you kind of get my gist, I don't know. There's some great Instagram people out there that are like the AAC coach, people like that who really, really do a great job at like describing it and explaining it much better than I am,
No, you did fine.
because they really, really help out in regards to describing it. And I just we just really help him along. We coach him along pretty much. We try not to really take that away from him. We really just put it in his hands and we let him do it. So
That's amazing.
we let him really take the reins on it.
That's awesome. Now, before I let you go, I talk with a lot of people about self-care because as special needs parents, we go through a lot and a lot is asked of us. Before we started recording, you told me you're coming up on 23 months
Yes.
of sobriety. Did I have that right?
Yes, 23 months sobriety.
Wow. First of all, congratulations. That's amazing. But
Thank you.
that's got to be a tough thing to navigate, especially with all of the stress. And, we talked a lot about it, dealing with insurance companies and trying to pick the right school and fighting for therapies and everything that goes along with raising a special needs child. Do you want to kind of get into that a little bit with us? Like, how was that for you, dealing,
Absolutely.
trying to get sober and better yourself while also dealing with a ton of stressful situations?
Absolutely. So here's the thing, Fred. I mean, I've always been a bit of a social drinker. And so I was never the type when I would go out, I was never the type to just be able to have one drink when I was out with friends. I would have to have like many. And, I was never like I would have to have a drink every day. It was just whenever I would socially drink, I would have to have many. And, I would be garbage the next day. And it was a realization of kind of just realizing that I needed to be there more for Xander. And, it's just so hard to explain and put into words that, it's one thing or another. And it's not a matter of just like dealing with the stress with alcohol. There's other ways to deal with the stress of it all. And I believe fully that like we can deal with our stress in different ways. And so I deal with my stress in regards to, going for a walk, going to the gym, yoga, things like that. And so when I realized that alcohol just wasn't the answer in regards to, being an autism mom, and I was noticing a problem after Xander's diagnosis that the alcohol was picking up and I was just being garbage the next day, and just that Xander just needed me, I said, you know what? I'm just gonna stop drinking altogether. Because I just can't have one. So I'm just gonna have none. And so I'm just a much better mother because of it. And I'm just a much happier mom because of it. And truly, I've made the realization that this whole mommy wine culture is not for me. And I just absolutely love not drinking. I love that I am there for Xander always. Waking up not hungover is much better, especially when Xander wakes up at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes. Because alcohol makes you tired. It really
Absolutely.
does. It really does. And, God forbid if anything ever happened to him, at least I can be 100% stone cold sober. And I can't say enough that, alcohol was a really bad, bad thing in my life. I mean, I come from a very rich family full of alcoholics, and it was definitely a genetic thing. So, and alcoholism is a progressive disease. So, it was only going to get worse. So I just decided to cut it out.
Yeah, and I think one of the things you hit on is finding productive ways to deal with the stress that we go through, and turning to things like alcohol. Obviously, it does not work, but like you said, going for walks, hitting the gym, finding something that's productive and conducive to to being an attentive and supportive parent.
Right, absolutely. And just, finding ways in which to work around. If you miss like having something in your hand that is drink, I know this is so cliche, but just having like a sparkling water, taking fruit and like just lemons and blueberries and just mashing it up and making that sort of like into a flavorful looking cocktail helps sometimes. It really does. Some people believe it's putting your hand a little too close to the flame, but not for me. I mean, it just gives the illusion of it all. And, I just am a huge, huge believer that, just give it a try. Just give it a try, because I guarantee 30 days without alcohol, even if you drink a little bit of alcohol sometimes, you just feel a lot better without it. You really do, especially as an autism parent. I still drink my coffee. I love coffee. I love coffee drinks. But but if anybody ever wanted to talk to me about it or talk, about, alcohol, things like that, I'm an open book. And you're in full confidence with me. Everything is private. I'm always open. My
Absolutely.
DMs are
Well,
open
if
always.
anybody does want to hit you up for any kind of questions, where can they find you?
Oh, I'm on Instagram, so I'm fully on Instagram. My
Okay.
Instagram is Life on the Foxstrom. It's Fox as in the animal, Fox, Strum as in the guitar, like Strum. So Life on the Foxstrom, because my son has Fox P1, the genetic disorder. So that's something else to get into. That's a whole other can of worms. But but yeah, hit me up on that. I'm not on really Facebook or anything like that. I'm mainly on Instagram. So hit me up on Instagram. I love hearing from people. I love talking to people. That is my thing. So I absolutely love talking and meeting new people. That is just absolutely fills my cup up. So I love talking to you, Fred. This was my highlight of the day.
Oh, nice. Thank you so much. I mean, top to bottom, we've gotten a lot of good information from this conversation today. So I hope that people really enjoy it.
Me too. Me too. It was so nice talking to you. So I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much for this conversation.
No problem. Thank you. And I can't let you guys go without the Spectrum Dad joke of the week. So here it is. What do a tick and the Eiffel Tower have in common? They're both parasites. I'll talk to you guys next week. Hit me up on Instagram at the Spectrum Dad Pod. And don't forget, I really love those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. See you guys next week.